Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today I have the dynamic duo of Amy Butler and David Butler. They are a husband and wife team that many of you have followed for years, and I thought it'd be great to have them both come on and talk a little bit about, you know, their work style and their fabrics and everything that's going on. They have a whole lot of new things that are going on. So hi, Amy and David. Thanks for being here.
Hi, how you doing, Pat?
Hey, Pat.
I'm really good. So, Amy, did you just walk in the door?
Oh, from Quilt Market?
Yeah.
Well, and then I had a New York trip that was canceled.
Ah, okay. So that's good. So you had a little bit of time at home.
Yeah, a little bit of time at home. And I think for us it was a blessing in disguise. We really got a lot of domestic things taken care of that have been sorely neglected. Quilt Market preparations. So it was good.
Yeah. So speaking of that, you and David work together now. I mean, have you always worked together, Amy?
Yes. We've had our own design studio for almost 22 years now. We've been self-employed.
Oh. So, David, this is for you, since I'm very curious because my husband and I also work together. It's like, do you have like a top tip? Like, what is the secret for husbands and wives working together?
That's a good question that people ask every now and again. I would say that is to defer to each other's strengths and know when to, you know, not most things that people get in arguments about, I think, in their businesses and their personal lives aren't really worth getting into discussions about. Mm-hmm. So we just try to be, you know that each other's on each other's side and be, you know, be supportive when we need to be supportive and know when to say, you know, like, well, that's Amy's thing. I'm going to let her take care of that.
I also tell people we have to have our offices on separate floors.
We don't have that. We have separate offices that are surrounded. There's a neutral zone in the middle.
Diane is our studio manager, and she's kind of the buffer zone.
She's the referee.
She's the referee.
You say, let's ask her, right? So, Amy, let's talk a little bit about your fabric. I had put out there on Facebook asking if people had some questions for you guys, and Darla had asked a question that I thought was sort of a good segue into your fabric because you've been designing fabric for quite a while, and it is so universally loved. And Darla is wondering, how do you continue to create such beautiful fabric that speaks to so many people?
Oh, that's a really nice thing to say. Thank you, Darla. That's awesome. You know, I think from day one, you know, as an artist, I've always been true to what I love and what I'm, you know, what's in my heart and what I'm attracted to as a creative person. And I think, you know, one thing that never stops is change, and we keep evolving. And I think there's an intrinsic quality to everything that all artists make that, you know, harkens back to what's in your heart or your soul or your design eye, you know, kind of how you perceive the world. And so I think that's why the lines that I create have my Amy feel, because they're coming from me, from my heart, but they're evolving because I'm evolving. So I hope that that is kind of the connection that I'm making with people. And I think when you create honestly from a place that you're really excited about, there's a vibration in your work and people respond to that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's really very true. You know, people are responding to your work. I think they see themselves in it and your styling of how you present your work. It's just gorgeous.
Thank you. That is great. I love what you just said about they see themselves in it, because we're all connected. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a joy in my work that resonates with all of us. And it resonates with me when I get to see what people make with my fabric. I kind of feel like I'm the raw material. And like the very best piece of it all is connecting with other people and seeing what they create with it.
Were you surprised, ma'am? Now it's been happening for a while for you, Amy, but were you surprised in the beginning when your fabric was just popping up everywhere in everything?
Yeah, I mean, on some levels, yes, and on some levels, no. I think maybe it's because as an artist, you know, it's your work and you're so at home with it. But yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing how the momentum has just continued to pick up pace with the connections that people are having with my fabric and seeing it out there in the world. It's just, it's really humbling and amazing.
And your fabric is with the Rowan Westminster branding. So just
that's right.
People,
yes.
Yeah. Realize that it's one of that's where your fabric line comes under. So David, all the years that you've been working with Amy, what has been your sort of role in the business side of it?
When Amy was getting started, you know, she started in sewing patterns, and I was basically helping her with production and design. So she would write the sewing patterns, and I would actually, she would do all the drawings by hand, and I would scan them into the computer, and we actually worked together to produce the sewing pattern. Then when she got into doing fabrics, back then there really wasn't, she could just do all the artwork by hand and then send it off to the mills, and she would do all of her color breaks by hand and everything. So I started years later trying to help a bit, as I learned, to help her with computer production on things. So she would do her drawings, she would have her fabric artwork, and I learned how to take it and put it in the computer and to do the step and repeats and that kind of thing.
That's important. It's an important job.
And, you know, we've just really been, you know, at each other's side this whole time. I do our photography, because when we got started, you know, I had a camera, and, you know, we'd get a local girl to, you know, put on the patterns, and we still do it the exact same way that we did it when we started the business 12 years ago. Nothing's changed. We still do everything by hand ourselves as much as we can.
And you have a few helpers now. You have a team, right?
Well, we have a small team of people that help with the business. You know, we still do all of our own design, but we have, you know, Diane helps us with our business, you know, really is integral in helping us run the business. And then we have other people that help us get together sewn samples and help us with our marketing and our PR a little bit and things like that.
Yeah, you do get to a certain point, don't you, where you have to have more than just the two of you to keep moving forward.
Yeah, there's a certain, you know, there's a lot of things that have to happen, especially when you're getting ready for quilt market. You know, we can't, don't have time to sew all those samples. So we work with local women to help us take the fabrics and, you know, turn them into the samples that Amy designs and I design. Because you can't do everything yourself. So you got to have help with some of that.
So Amy, where, I've forgotten, do you have a studio outside your home?
No, we don't. We did for a little while, up until this past spring. I believe we moved the studio back into the lower level of our house where we started the studio. Through all the different changes of our business, you know, we a few years back, we got into licensing very heavily. We needed more physical space in order to house the materials and work with the licenses, and we've really been focused on simplifying our studio and our business. And it, you know, got to the point where we had eliminated a great deal of our licensing, and it didn't make sense to have that overhead of a separate studio. And the other thing was, is Dave and I were working from home predominantly. We would satellite between both spaces, and I honestly missed that connection with Diane. And, you know, everybody else works with us on a freelance basis, but that energy of people coming in and out, you know, from time to time during the week. And so this move has been, you know, absolutely amazing. I mean, and Dave and I are at a place in our lives where, you know, it's absolutely just what we need. It's so perfect for us right now.
Yeah, I like working at home, too.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you've got your workout clothes on all day, you don't shower, you know, everybody's used to seeing the various shades of David's always put together. He's like, he looks good enough for both of us.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of doing a radio interview, isn't it?
That's right. I have no idea what you're wearing. We didn't have to have makeup or hair or anything.
Amy did shower.
I did shower.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad. So, David, let's talk a little bit about why you decided to jump in and design fabric under your own artwork.
Well, it's something that Westminster had been talking to me about for a few years, and we kind of threw the idea around, and Amy finally coaxed me into doing a men's line. Well, it's just a male-friendly line, really. It's not really just a men's line. But, you know, I've been a graphic designer since I graduated from art school, and, you know, I learned how to do a step and repeat by working on the computer. So it was kind of a natural extension of everything else I've been doing, and I started Parson Gray as a brand because I didn't want to just come out as Mr. Amy Butler.
Right.
I wanted it to have its own kind of set of guiding principles and legs and artistic point of view, very much my own. And Parson Gray was a pen name that I had used years ago in some of my folk art.
I just
resurrected it to give it its own voice.
It's a great name to fit with your line. It just, I don't know, for me, it just all is very connected with that name and the look of your fabric. How has the response to your fabric been?
Really good. I mean, you know, people get it. You know, they know that it's male friendly, but it's not male focused.
Mm-hmm.
They get that it's, you know, kind of richly muted tones. It's not just, you know, it's not just a series of actual gray fabric. You know, it's,
right.
You know, very richly muted. And I, you know, a lot of my inspiration comes from Japanese indigo art and mid-century modern design and folk art, American folk art. And it's definitely got that kind of graphic designer, but still hand-drawn kind of character to it.
And the palette is great. It's sort of the bone taupey colors and the grays and the steely blues and some nice sort of mossy greens, right?
Yeah, kind of mid-century meets colonial, you know. The color palette, you know.
Goes to Williamsburg, right?
That's yeah, exactly.
Well, we are going to, in a second here, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we have a new project that you're doing for, it's an internet lookbook club called Blossom, right?
Blossom Magazine.
Blossom Magazine, yes. So when we come back, we're going to hear all about it. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be right back.
Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Deb Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
10 colored fabric pens. One trusted embroidery machine. One DesignWorks software suite. 5 perfectly cut flowers. 250 glittering crystals. One dress as colorful as my imagination. Introducing the new DesignWorks software suite from Bernina. Includes cutwork for all the shapes that your creativity can imagine. Paintwork for all the designs you can picture. And crystal work. Easily add sparkle to your creations. For more information, visit your Bernina dealer. Bernina, made to create.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Babylock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Mm-hmm. Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking with Amy and David Butler. Amy, you have been featured in American Patchwork and Quilting magazine, and we've had lots of your quilts and your handbags run in the main issue and many of the other issues of American Patchwork. And now you have got this really great new digital magazine called Blossom and a club called Blossom. I got to go to your schoolhouse on it. Tell me a little bit about it.
Oh, I'm so glad you were there. Oh, I'm really excited about Blossom Magazine and Blossom Club. And the magazine itself is, it's all about, it's going to be a gorgeous visual journal with loads of inspiration and lots of sort of soulful content that's inspiring. And the whole point of the magazine is, it's kind of reflective of where I am in my life right now and the kind of connection that I really yearn to have with people. And basically honing in on the beauty in our lives and celebrating that in each other and, you know, recognizing the beauty in our gifts and our talents and the ways that we express ourselves, you know, and beauty seen is beauty that we take in. And so it's my dream is to create a community around the magazine that supports each other and our creativity and our wins in life and our successes from the standpoint of not necessarily monetary success or material success, but more success in, you know, following our hearts and following our bliss and doing the things that we love that are on our life's purpose. And then the content of the magazine is curated through my heart. So their interest in the magazine are things that come through my personal passions, but it's not about me. So I think it's going to be an incredible visual inspiration food fest. And it's just going to be very dynamic. We already have over 200 pages of creative content.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah. I saw a little bit, you know, in you gave us a preview, and there's a lot of it taking your fabrics and David's fabrics.
Also,
is that right?
Yes. It's there's a lot of how-to content that does feature my fabric collections only in the aspect of, you know, the actual samples that we make up for the photography, but mm-hmm. What I love about the format is I'm not only putting forward my projects and materials, but also great designs, tutorials, patterns, and books from some of the best designers in the industry.
Ooh.
So it's a real collaborative, collective effect with tons and tons of variety.
Oh, so about when will it launch?
In a couple weeks, right?
Before Thanksgiving.
Ooh. I know. You hate to say it out loud, right? It's like, but they can go to amybutlerdesign.com, and on your top nav bar, you have Blossom.
Yeah.
And they can click. And then there's also a club aspect associated. What will that be about?
Well, Blossom Club is really a vehicle for bringing the online dreamers, the folks that are looking at the magazine, in direct contact with great creative experiences through the independent retailers that will put forward, you know, fabrics, patterns, projects, and ultimately a class selection. So the way I present Blossom Club to my retailers is that as the magazine publishes, they'll get advanced information on all the projects in the magazine, where all the product tutorials are coming from. And the idea is that they can curate their own class structure based on what they feel their customers would be interested in. They can ask their customers, hopefully, what they're into, mm-hmm. And then have a special, unique selective of classes or not. They don't have to participate. In that respect, they might just want to be a retailer that provides the materials and supplies to actually make Blossom projects. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful format to connect the sewist with the actual great, incredible education or fabulous materials that only the retailers can provide in person. And it's my dream that the retailers, it helps them build their community also and expand their audience with the variety of interests and projects and ways that they can be involved with a magazine.
It's always great to go into a quilt shop and be able to sit with other people, isn't it? To have that, you know, real one-to-one.
That's the special ingredient. That's the piece that I can provide all kinds of unlimited inspiration. I don't have access to all the thousands of readers. Mm-hmm. And I know how valuable education is, and that sense of community, that one-on-one time or that group time with other folks with similar passions. And so I'm hoping that this is another powerful extension in the magazine.
I'm excited. I hope somebody here does that. I'll have to be yelling, Kelly, my local quilt shop. Do you hear that? So I could go over there.
I've had great feedback from the retailers. And, you know, it's a learning process, too. You know, we're launching, and I'm sure that there'll be lots of, like, updates and tweaks and ways to make it better and better. And I'm all ears for, you know, making things the very best they can be for everybody involved.
Yay, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So let's talk, and this is sort of switch gears, because this is, there's an event that you're part of that is an in-person event, taking that message that way, which is QuiltCon, a new conference being sponsored by the Modern Quilt Guild. You and David, you're both lecturing, teaching. Are you also on the Modern Quilt Guild board, or did I get that confused?
No, we're not on the Modern Quilt Guild board. We're just passionate supporters.
Yeah, okay. David, what are you doing at QuiltCon? What is your role there?
You know, I'm actually giving a talk on photography because it's something that, as kind of a born out of the business myself photographer, you know, I'm kind of giving a little bit of a talk on guerrilla photography and how, you know, my take on how we've helped to build the Amy Butler brand through photography. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, that will be. That I think people who make quilts and like to share it via their blogs really always want to improve the way they present.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just going to be, you know, I think I'm only talking for about an hour, but that's about all I have to say on the subject. I'm a bit of a simpleton when it comes to photography. So it's going to be more about kind of the passion and kind of my the spirit that goes behind how I take the type of photography that I take and what I like to call the shots in between the shots, where it doesn't look like they're modeling it or, you know, like they're posing. It's capturing a real essence of a mood, you know, that's set by what Amy's already done. So.
That's really neat. I want to learn to do better photography. That's one of my goals for the future. So this is in Austin, Texas, in February of 2013, and there's a website, quiltcon.com. And the two of you, you are very, you know, you have a lot of stuff that you do at home, and you're not really people that go out on the road and teach a lot. So this is an opportunity for people to come to this conference and meet you in person and learn from you. Amy, what will you be doing?
I am so excited. I'm going to be doing a Build Your Own Color Story class. So I'm going to take people through the process of how I build my color palettes and inspiration and telling the story with color. And then everybody's going to be working on their own personal color palettes. And by the end of the class, we'll have a fully swatched working color palette for their next quilt project.
Ooh. That sounds like really something different that people maybe haven't walked through before.
I hope so. I'm so used to the way I work. I'm assuming that it's going to be valuable to other people. And I think what always ends up happening in these classes is I end up learning just as much or more from the students because of their ideas and creativity. So it's going to be a really casual, laid back, creative experience. I'm going to give an inspirational slideshow up front for just a few minutes just to kind of show my personal working process, and then we're going to dive right in hands-on in building our color palettes.
So I'm curious, and I don't think I told you I was going to ask you this, but it's not a hard question. But I'm curious, how do the two of you get recharged because of doing this for so many years? You know, that how do you keep your ideas fresh personally? Do you travel? Do you do research? Just take vacation?
All of the above.
Yeah,
it's all, that's really, really important. And I mean, there have definitely been periods in our creative working life where we haven't given that much attention as we need to. From time to time, we've almost overloaded ourselves too much. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it's middle age, and part of it's like, you know, the ultimate joy and satisfaction in what we do. But you realize, you know, you kind of can hit a wall where you're like, oh my gosh, I need a physical, emotional break so I can recharge my batteries, because you really have to put fuel back in the tank, you know, in order to keep producing. And that's just one of the things we love. And we kind of live it day by day, too. Like, we build in things in our day-to-day lives that add value to everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And that helps us keep a lot of balance.
So when you go on vacation, like David, will you do sketches? Will you do photography? Or do you just do nothing and let your brain relax?
Photography and reading. And a whole lot of nothing else. Eating. But I like to do, like, adventure sports, too. So I like to go mountain biking and snowboarding and things like that. And that just helps me to get out in nature and get fresh air and get mm-hmm. back to the things that I really, you know, the kind of the deep woody tones of the woods, you know, is the place that I like to be. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of that's reflective in my artwork. And you can tell that Amy loves to visit historical gardens. And, you know, so it's, you do see our personal passions in our work, for sure. Mm-hmm. That's reflective of going on these trips.
And David, you personally have other businesses you also do.
Like... I used to. I don't that much. I still do graphic design for a few people, mostly friends mm-hmm. That come to me. I find it very easy to work with my friends because I know them. So it's mm-hmm. very easy to jump right into something and help them start up a brand or a business. I used to work in retail design, so... That's a big part of my background.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been so great to get a little insight into what you're doing, and that you're going to be someplace for people to come and visit you. I hope that you have a lot of fun at QuiltCon.
Oh, we will. It's going to be great. We're really excited.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a very energizing city, Austin.
Yeah, for sure. I've been there. It's a fantastic town. I'm excited to go back.
Good. And I've
good,
never...
Good, good.
Wait.
Amy's never been.
I've never been either, and I hope to be there for the first day, at least the first day of the show.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Well, I'm going to give everybody your sites. You can visit Amy at amybutlerdesign.com. Both of them have Facebook pages. You have a Parson Gray page on Facebook and Amy Butler page. So thank you so much.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. So quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7 Series. Bernina, made to create.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolate with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And our next two segments of the show, I have American Patchwork and Quilting editors, Jennifer Keltner and Jody Sanders, talking about topics that are solutions to real life problems that you have in quilting. They've gone out and gotten some answers for you, so let's listen in.
Even if you don't have quilting friends or a quilting group you belong to, social media is a great place to find out what other quilters are doing and to be able to share solutions. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is solutions to your quilting struggles. At the American Patchwork and Quilting Facebook page, we pose the question to fans of what are your biggest quilting struggles? And we're going to try to answer some of those struggles today with some solutions. So, Jody, kick us off.
Yeah, the first one we got was, how can I incorporate big novelty prints into my quilts? I love them, but I don't know how to use them. And I think that's a really common question that people have, especially since we've seen lots and lots of big, beautiful florals and crazy novelty prints in the last few years. So, one suggestion that we have is to use it as a center panel of a charity quilt and kind of take advantage of that big print and then use a large portion of it and then maybe build up your quilt around that.
Right. And the thing I love about using them for charity quilts is sometimes we see those big novelty prints and it's not our style or the kind of thing that maybe we would have a person in our life that they would be for. I think especially in the kid print genre, there are some adorable car prints or little girl prints, and I don't have somebody in my life right now that I need to be making those for. But if you fall in love with that fabric, making it as a charity quilt can be a great idea. A couple other ways you can use prints, large prints, are to make gift bags. I think with the whole Go Green movement, making gift bags out of fabric that you can reuse and just making a self-tie to pull them together is a great way, or a drawstring tie. And pillowcases, of course, for the Million Pillowcase Challenge with American Patchwork and Quilting, that's been a great way for people to get their hands on fabrics that maybe don't go with their own personal decor, but they can make a set of beautiful pillowcases using those large prints and really showcase the pattern.
I've really seen some cute aprons made up with some of those prints as well. You can use the front panel of the front part of the apron, or use it as a specialty item on your drawstring. But aprons are a really fun way to use some of those novelty prints. You could use it as a border on something, or also make a purse out of it. There's some really cute purse patterns out there that really take advantage of those big prints.
The other way you can use them, if they're seasonal novelty prints, would be in a two-sided table runner. And I think quilters are getting more savvy about this, too. They maybe don't want to spend their time making a table runner for a short holiday season. If it's something like the 4th of July or a season that doesn't run quite as long, maybe you don't leave your Thanksgiving decorations up for long because you're right into Christmas. But using those novelty holiday prints in a two-sided table runner where the big panel takes advantage of that big print. And then if you use an all-over stitch and you have a balanced stitch for your quilting, when you quilt one side, you're quilting the other, and just add a solid or a simple trim that goes with both prints on each side, and you've got a table runner that does double duty. It's a great way to use it. I've got another question here that came up from one of our fans, and she said, I love embroidery. It's hot, 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 but what do I need to know to get started doing embroidery? Well, there are a few tips here that we can share with you. First of all, it's important to know what kind of needle and thread type you're going to work with. And a lot of quilters, especially, they may be familiar with a between or something that they're using for a quilting stitch, but all needles aren't the same. So before you reach into your sewing basket for your trusted mending needle, really, you need to think again. And not all needles work well for embroidery. The key is to choose a needle that has a large enough eye to accommodate the type of thread you're working with, and to choose a needle that's the proper size for the surface you're stitching on. So a needle should be able to make a hole in the fabric that's large enough for the shaft and the threaded eye to pass through. You don't want to be tugging on it or pulling it, because you can leave, you know, permanent holes or tears almost in your fabric if you get a needle that's too large. Three types of embroidery needles that are common are tapestry needles, chenille needles and crewel needles. And when you find them under those brands, all of those needles have a long oval eye, which is best for accommodating the thickness of multiple strands of floss or pearl cotton or yarn. Tapestry needles have a blunt end, crewel needles have a sharp end, and chenille needles have a sharp end with a long shank. If you want to do ribbon embroidery, chenille needles work well for that. Hand embroidery needles also have a size, and for hand sewing needles, the larger the number, the smaller the needle. So that's the opposite of what it is for sewing machine needles. So hand needles, the larger the number, the smaller or finer the needle. And if you're sewing on a tightly woven fabric, you want like a chenille or a crewel needle so the pointed end can pierce through the fabric. If you're using an open cloth, you want something with a blunt end. And as far as threads go, there has never, I don't think, been a better selection or variety of threads than is available today. So it really depends on the look and the effect you want to achieve. So I would say beginners, most people choose embroidery floss or pearl cotton.
Well, and then you're going to talk about how in the world do I get this pattern transferred? I have this beautiful embroidery pattern, but I'm not sure how to get it from the piece of paper onto my fabric. And there's some different ways to do that. You can use a sunny window or a light box, and you can just put your design, tape it up on perhaps a window, and then put your fabric over it and trace directly onto the fabric itself, or use a light box if you happen to have one of those. You also can use transfer paper if it's for maybe a darker fabric that you're going to be putting the pattern on. You can use a transfer paper and some kind of marking like a pen or a fabric pencil that you can be using to trace that pattern onto.
That's great. Once you've got your transferred pattern onto your fabric, then you're going to start stitching. And there are a couple tips we can share if you're new to adding embroidery to things. One of the things I like to do is to back my design. So if I have a block, let's say I'm doing a red work embroidery design that I'm going to incorporate into a quilt. If my fabric is fairly light or sheer, I don't want that red thread to show through. So what I like to do is back my design with a muslin piece that's the same size as the piece I'm embroidering on. So if I want to finish with a 12-inch square, maybe I'm going to cut it 15 inches to start out with, and I'm going to cut a same size piece of muslin, put it right behind my white fabric so that when I'm stitching through, the thread tails will be hidden and you won't show through, and I can leave a little knot in the thread or something like that so I don't have to be concerned about it. Others will use a thin piece of batting or maybe flannel, something to give it a little heft and depth to the stitching. If you want something that looks a little more textured, you can also add batting.
Those are great ideas. I'd never tried that before, and that's really a great tip. You can incorporate it into your quilting by maybe putting it in blocks. You also could use it in your borders if you wanted to do some embroidery along some border pieces.
And, of course, one of the age-old ways that people incorporate embroidery into their quilts is by quilting across the seams, because crazy quilts for years have showcased a variety of embroidery stitches as a way to showcase stitchery on a quilt without having to do a block design. And there you don't really have to worry about transferring your design. You can just get crazy with your thread choices and really mix it up and try some specialty stitches as well. So let's move on to another question. This one strikes, well, joy in my heart, I have to say.
And fear in mine.
There you go. The question was about binding. If there's a joyful way to do it, please share. That was this quilter's struggle. And I have to say, I know I've shared before, my absolute favorite part of quilting is binding. I love it. And it always makes me sad when I see it on somebody's struggle list, because I think I just haven't, you know, shared the tip or trick yet that they will make them turn into a lover of binding. So my first tip here is that there are no rules. What I find is people cut their binding sometimes small. They cut it according to what the pattern says exactly. And maybe it's too thin. They're having difficulty turning it to the wrong side of the quilt. They can't get it quite to cover up the stitching line from where they've added it in the machine. I like the look of a wider binding. I sew it on with a quarter-inch seam, but I turn more to the back because I like the way that binding looks on the back. I think it adds sort of a frame to the back side of my quilt. So I purposefully cut mine 3, sometimes even 3.5 inches instead of the standard 2.5, because I like the way it looks. And I'm able to finagle a mitered corner on the back, even cutting it wider. And I just love that look. So first of all, if you've got a lot of rules about binding, try to, you know, do what works best for you.
And I think that's maybe where the struggle comes for me is I need to decide, you know, do I want single fold binding? Do I want double fold binding? Do I want to cut it on the bias? And I think just taking all those things into consideration sometimes gets me stumbled a little bit, but it really shouldn't because those are really easy decisions. It's just based on personal preference.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing I find is that a lot of times you can poke yourself with a lot of pins. If you're pinning your binding in place as you're trying to stitch it down, all those pinpoints can really get in the way. My favorite thing to use is the binding clips. They look kind of like barrettes. I just clip them over the edge of my binding and I'm ready to go. And I love that. I like to position the quilt so that the right side or the top of the quilt is against my lap and the edge that I'm binding is closest to me. So I've got the binding already folded over to the wrong side or back side of my quilt. My little barrettes are holding it in place. I'm right-handed, so I stitch from right to left. And I run my needle up into the edge of the binding. And I tell people, if you can applique, you can bind. Because I just bring my needle up in the edge of the binding, and then I take it down into the back of the quilt through the batting, straight across from where I came up in the binding. So the little bite that I'm taking in the needle or the thread that you can see on top of the quilt is straight or perpendicular to the edge. Then I slide my needle over a quarter inch and come up again in just the very edge, the rolled edge of my double fold binding, and come up there, take my bite straight down, and slide my needle under through the batting. So positioning your quilt comfortably in your lap as you're doing it. Now, at my house, we say every quilt is scooter tested because my dog is usually sitting on my lap as I'm binding. But having that binding edge closest to you and the bulk of the quilt away from you, I think, can make it easier to sort of wrangle the whole process.
Well, and if you're looking for some resources on how this might look or how to do this, we've got some great videos on allpeoplequilt.com and also on every issue of All American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More. We also have a how-to section that shows you how to do those corners and how to make a really nice miter. So if you're kind of a visual person and you want to see that, check out those videos or go to those pages, those how-to pages at the end so that you can just see visually how to do that.
Absolutely. Finally, I'd like to say the other thing you can do is if you really don't like the hand stitching portion of binding, you can machine sew it all. And we also had a reader who commented that she likes to machine sew it, but it always looks a little sloppy. Well, try reversing it. Sew it to the back side of your quilt, turn it to the front of your quilt. And I know this is something that Pat Sloan does quite often, is then use a decorative stitch on the front, a blanket stitch, a zigzag stitch, or something like that to hold it in place on the front. And as long as your thread on the back side of your quilt in your bobbin matches the backing, you won't see that stitching. So those are some great answers and solutions, I think, for some of the quilting struggles that people have. And we'll share more in another upcoming segment.
Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. So quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7Series. Bernina, made to create.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife.
Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
What other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have another really wonderful segment from Jennifer Keltner and Jody Sanders, the editors at American Patchwork, and they're talking about real-life solutions. This segment is about lining your blocks up and machine quilting. Let's listen in.
Fans of American Patchwork and Quilting are great about sharing solutions with one another and also sharing parts of quilting that they struggle with. We've got some questions here from readers' submissions asking for solutions to some of the things they struggle with. So let's start sharing.
Well, one of the challenges people have is getting those blocks or seams or corners to line up. And they're always asking us, how can I do a better job of that and making sure that my blocks and my seams and my corners are all straight? And one of the things that we tell them right away is to double check your settings. The default on your machine may not be at a quarter inch. And most quilting instructions have a quarter inch seam allowances, kind of the standard. So if your machine default is maybe 3/8 of an inch or 5/8 of an inch, you're going to end up compounding that little bit of error each way at each step. So double check your settings. Make sure that you do actually have a quarter inch seam allowance that you're using. And one thing I like to do is measure at each step. So after each unit or each block that I'm making, I go ahead and get the ruler out and my mat and make sure that I am at the size that I should be. Instructions in American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More always give you those sizes after each of those steps so you can go back and make sure that you are accurate and you have the right measurements.
That's right. And the thing that I think we forget about sometimes is depending on the number of pieces in a block. If you have a 30-piece block and you're going to be pairing it in your quilt up with a 9-piece block, you've got a lot more margin for error in that 30-piece block if you've got seams running in all directions. That if you're off by just a little bit on that quarter inch, it may not line up perfectly with the 9 patch. So you really do have to check it each unit or step along the way and just practice and make sure you get that accurate quarter inch so that things fit together. Now, another solution that our quilt tester Laura Benke has started using more often to improve the accuracy of putting pieces together is breaking one of the unofficial rules of quilting for some. She's starting to press seams open where it makes sense. And I'm seeing more and more designers submitting things with that recommendation. So that may work as well.
Another thing when you're talking about accuracy, and if that continues to be an issue after you've checked to see if you have a quarter inch and you're actually stopping and measuring and you're ironing, is to consider maybe making your pieces a little larger and then trimming them down, particularly something like a triangle square. You can go ahead and make those an eighth of an inch or a quarter of an inch bigger than what you need, and then go ahead and trim down at each step, and that will help with your accuracy. Also, paper foundation piecing is another thing that I've used, particularly with patterns that have points. I oftentimes will convert a pattern into a foundation piecing pattern, and that helps me get really sharp points on those stars.
So another question submitted by one of our fans was having to do with color. We hear a lot from readers saying they have difficulty struggling to make color choices or color combinations. And here are a few solutions for those of you who struggle with color choices.
One of the columns that's new in American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More is an inspiration, a color inspiration page. And we would take a beautiful photograph and then pull out fabrics from our fabric library that would match that particular photograph. And that's been an inspiration for people, and they don't think to look at nature or maybe some food photography. And we also have slideshows of those on allpeoplequilt.com. So check that out for inspiration.
Absolutely. One of the other things I've started doing more, and this is what I love about technology, is for most of us, we have a camera in our phone now. And sometimes I'll be out shopping or out at a park, and I'll just see this beautiful display either brought to me by my local retail therapist or Mother Nature, and I'll snap a photo of that because I want to remember that combination of colors or that unexpected mix of things. Or it could even be as simple as, you know, seeing something in a magazine.
Right. Like, I keep an inspiration folder. I have both a physical file folder where I tear sheets out of magazines of beautiful photography that I'm inspired by. I also have an file on my computer that I can save images in. And, you know, for me, I'm also checking Pinterest out every day because there's some amazing images and photography there that I think have really inspired a lot of us.
Absolutely. I think that it's really eye candy for us when we look at a beautiful image or pictures, and what appeals to you might be different from what appeals to me, but really what you're trying to get to the heart of is what you look for. And one of the things I think is fun about curating a Pinterest board or having your inspiration folder is you can start to see colors that really draw you in, because you start to pull out all those images that you love, and you might find a common thread of a color running through them, or that you like two color things, or that you like really scrappy things. And you can start to sort of dissect what your own color likes and dislikes are. And it's a very personal issue, but those kinds of things, I think people just need confidence in their own ability to trust your instinct and what it is that you like.
The nice thing about keeping those folders, too, is that as your tastes do change, you just, you know, disregard or get rid of that particular page or delete that particular board. And so you can constantly update it with the things that you currently like and that the colors that you're currently inspired by. I know Shelter magazines are one places that, again, they do beautiful photography with lots of great color. And I can take inspiration from those particular pages and incorporate those into a quilt design.
That's terrific. What other questions do we have, Jody?
You know, another thing I think that people wonder a lot about is quilting. And I've got the top done, and now I'm finished. And I think one of the things that we try and encourage quilters to do in our magazines is finish that project. We include quilting designs in American Patchwork and Quilting so that you know exactly what that design is. And there's different ways to accomplish that. You can do it certainly on your home machine. You can do, if you're a long armor, you actually have a machine set aside to do just the machine quilting, and probably space set aside in your home to do that. You can do free motion quilting. I think the thing with any of those particular techniques and however you do your quilting, the main thing is that you just need to practice, practice, practice. And none of us do it wonderfully the first time out. I know I took a machine quilting class from Harriet Hargrave several years ago, and she suggested that you take 30 minutes every day for a week and just sit down and practice your machine quilting. And then what happens is you get used to, and it becomes a habit, and you get used to kind of that rhythm that you get into by practicing that much every day. And it's a great thing to use for charity quilts. You know, take those charity quilts that you're not sure how they're going to be washed or taken care of and practice on those. But I think the main thing to remember is you're not going to be a great machine quilter. Nobody does an heirloom quilt the first time out.
Absolutely. I think I've also heard it called muscle memory. The more you practice it, the more your muscles remember the movement and the kind of the shapes you're trying to make. And when you sit down to do it over and over and over again, it becomes rote. Just like we all learn to write the alphabet and other things that we learn to do. Hold a needle, I guess, things like that as well. The other thing I think that's important for quilters to know is that there are some great tools out there, whether you're quilting on a long arm or a home sewing machine, that can help you to achieve the results you want. I think I often see with straight line quilters, people will say, well, you know, my lines aren't as straight as they wish they were. And often people who make really great straight lines are using a ruler technique to keep those lines straight. or they're using some sort of marking tape or guide to help them keep on track when they're doing the quilting. So keep that in mind as well, and really investigate the tools at your local quilt shop and how they can help make the process easier for you.
And I think that we're really seeing the importance of the machine quilting and how that can make a difference on your final quilt top is that there's lots of books out there now, too. Natalia Bonner, Angela Walters, there's some great how-to photography in the books that are just coming out. There's some great step-by-step things that can show you how to do that, whether it's doodles or whether it's free motion. Take advantage of some of those books and things that are out there on the market for you to give inspiration for machine quilting ideas.
And I think it's important also to start small. You know, don't necessarily start learning how to machine quilt on a king size quilt where your skill level is going to change drastically from where you start to where you finish because you're going to be working on it for so long. Think about starting on a table runner or a wall hanger, something that you can manage. You don't have to worry about the weight of the quilt pulling off of the table and a lot of the other considerations, rolling it up or managing it under the needle if it's a really big project. When you're first starting out, it's helpful to start with those smaller projects that you can really control and have a better experience with. Last but not least, we have many, many, many quilters who respond to their greatest struggle is finding time, finding ways to fit in time. So as we wrap up this segment, and we're going to be running out of time, let's talk, Jody, quickly about three ways or four ways we can fit in more time to quilt.
One of the things I do is I actually make an appointment with myself, and I set it on the calendar. And if you need to have a start and stop time, and it doesn't need to be a long period of time, I know you've talked about even maybe just a few minutes a day can make a difference.
Right. I think 15 minutes of quilting every day can do your soul a world of good. And the best advice I ever heard on this was, you know, we all make time. We all make 15 minutes every day to take a shower and have a cup of coffee. And there's not a day that goes by that I'm not having that cup of coffee. Somehow, some way, there will be enough minutes in the day for me to make that happen. So if I can do it with a shower and coffee, I can surely do it with quilting.
I know another thing that we can do is, you know, what tools are we using? Are we using them in the most efficient way as possible? And really step back, take a look. Am I doing the cutting? Am I doing the sewing the way that I could be? You know, could I be chain piecing instead of, you know, cutting the threads in between each seam? So I think taking a look at the tools and the techniques and the way you're putting your things together can also, you maybe find some more efficient ways to do that.
And last but not least, I would say there are times when we just can't get to our machine. We're either traveling or we've got a guest room that doubles as a sewing room and there's somebody in there. But even on those days when you can't physically sit down at your sewing machine, take your issue of American Patchwork and Quilting, take your favorite book or magazine and sit down and read through the pages and look at the pictures and find your inspiration. I mean, we call it virtual quilting. Sometimes I've read so many quilt patterns, I'm doing it in my head even if I'm not doing it in fabric quite yet. But that can be a great way to just feed your creative soul and give you more time to be virtual quilting, if not real quilting. We hope that you have more time to quilt in your day, and we certainly are going to make sure we make time. And please continue to share your struggles, your challenges, and your solutions with us at our Facebook page for American Patchwork and Quilting.
This is Pat Sloan, back with you. Isn't that great? I love all of their tips. I think we learned a lot today. Come back next week to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.